The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the solemnity of Christ the King, and it's the last day of the liturgical year. I'd like to look at this solemnity and how Jesus serves as a king, as an inspiration for our stewardship. In our gospel, we see that a prerequisite to entering Jesus' kingdom is giving to those in need, whether it is of our time, talent, or treasure. Every king has a throne. Thrones symbolize a king's power and authority. From his throne, a king administers justice, conducts diplomatic negotiations, receives petitions, and issues commands. The existence of a throne reminds a king's subjects that the king is not just another citizen, he is the ruler, the Lord, the sovereign. The throne reminds us that the king has been given the task of guiding his nation the way a ship's captain guides his ship. The throne is the symbol of royal identity. The type of throne that a particular king possesses reflects the type of kingship he strives to live out, whether benevolent or violent, aloof or compassionate. Our King, Jesus Christ, the eternal King of all life, history, and the entire universe, has a throne that is absolutely one of a kind. No other king in all of human history has chosen such a throne. What is Jesus' throne? We all know it, and it presides over every Catholic church and every Catholic household. It is the sign by which we are welcome into God's family and made citizens of the everlasting kingdom. It has been the mark of every Christian since the age of the catacombs. Christ's throne is the cross. This throne is different from every other throne in three very distinct ways. The first amazing characteristic of Christ's throne is that it is a sign of sacrifice. Instead of being a throne that the king sits on in a position of power, our king's throne is one that Jesus lies down on in a position of being sacrificed. Some kings seek pleasure and a leisurely life, requiring his subjects to suffer so that he can enjoy wealth and power. Jesus is not like that. He is not asserting himself. He is not lording it over his subjects, but rather giving himself to them, sacrificing himself on his throne for the sake of others. As he explains in John 15, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Contrast this with almost any other famous throne throughout human history. The Emperor Charlemagne's throne, for example, which you can still visit in the German city of Aachen, is a fairly simple marble throne. But it is positioned on the last of seven massive marble stairs. When petitioners approached Charlemagne, their heads would be even with his feet as he sat and looked down comfortably upon them. Earthly kings want to lord their power over their subjects, but Jesus sees his kingship as loving service of others. When it comes to stewardship, we are all called to carry our cross, to make a sacrifice for our love of God and neighbor. That sacrifice can take many forms, but a sacrifice means that it was a little bit difficult to give it, not something easy or even automatic. Jesus' throne of the cross reminds us to seek first and foremost in life not to lord what we have over others, but rather to put our lives in sacrificial service toward others. The second shocking characteristic of our king's throne is its material. The cross is rough, plain wood. Compare that with the famous earthly kings and their thrones, such as the famous peacock throne of India's Mughal Empire. This too is one of the world's most famous thrones. It was captured and eventually dismantled in the 1700s. The peacock throne was ascended by steps that were made out of pure silver. It stood on four solid gold feet and was surrounded by a golden canopy. The actual seat was adorned with an abundance of the softest pillows covered in velvet and silk. Behind the seat was a rich screen decorated by representations of two open peacock tails. These were gilded with gold, enameled, and inset with diamonds, rubies, pearls, emeralds, and every other kind of precious stone. When you approached the emperor who sat in that throne, you saw his wealth and treasure. How rich he was on public display. Well, the Mughal Empire is gone, and the peacock throne has disappeared. But the plain, rough wood of the crucifix remains in every Catholic church and every Catholic home. And when we approach this king on his throne, our eyes are opened instead of being blinded by avarice. We see rather his simplicity. We see before us the true beauty of God's love. And when we approach this king on his throne, we are not tempted by love of riches, but rather by the Lord's patience, forgiveness, courage, and humility. When it comes to stewardship, we are called to remember our tithe, how we make proper use of our treasures. Our treasures are not meant for us to lord it over others, but rather to share our gifts for the building of God's kingdom and helping those in most need. How much you are called to give in your tithe is a matter between you and God, but the biblical tithe is 10%. The stewardship of our treasure shows that we love God more than the things that are beautiful in our world. We give our treasure in the middle of Mass because it's an act of worship. It doesn't cost us everything as it did Jesus' offering, but it should cost us something. Our tithe is a sacrificial gift. We work hard for our money through sweat, toil, and tears. We, the priests, say to the church, pray that my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to Almighty God. Our sacrifice is in the tithe and in all we do to offer it because of our love of God. The third truly unique characteristic of our King's throne is that it is approachable. The scriptures tell us that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple separating all but the high priest from the Holy of Holies was split down the middle from top to bottom. Jesus has removed all barriers to his sacred and divine heart and wants to draw all mankind to himself. Everyone can come close to Christ if he or she chooses. Christ's throne reigns in each of our hearts. Jesus is as approachable as a brother. He himself says that those who keep God's commands are brother, sister, and mother to me. Every Catholic home should have his throne, the cross, but most especially, it should be in our hearts. Contrast this with perhaps the most famous human throne of all time, the dragon throne of the ancient emperors of China. What made this throne so impressive was precisely its location, its isolation. It was located at the very center of the Forbidden City, which was completely off limits for everyone except the most illustrious and powerful subjects of the emperor. Some of those subjects were kings themselves, kings who paid tribute to the emperor. And when the vassal kings came for an audience with the emperor, they had to be escorted through a dizzy maze of gateways, bridges, doorways, and halls, finally to come before the dragon throne. Once they arrived, before they were allowed to speak, they had to kneel, press their forehead to the floor 3 times, then kneel and do the same again, and even a 3rd time. Only then, after this long, intimidating, humiliating ceremonial, was the vassal permitted to speak to the emperor. Everything about the dragon throne and its rituals was designed to emphasize the vast distance between the emperor and even his most distinguished subjects. But now today, the dragon throne is empty, its emperor is gone. And our king, who longed to be closest even to the humble, most miserable person, and so purposely enthroned himself on a rough wooden cross, he still reigns in our homes and in our hearts. And from the cross today, instead of distancing himself from his people, our King draws us ever closer to himself as he presents himself to us in the Eucharist. The way in which we live out our stewardship should reflect this. We must be open. We must open ourselves up rather than shut ourselves off from the life of the church. There are so many ministries that are in need of your time and talent and treasure. It is easy to support someone from afar off, but to enter into one's life and work, this is what true compassion is all about, to enter into the suffering, the hard work and toil of the other. Jesus is the best example of compassion as he doesn't stay far away from us, but that the Word was made flesh and dwelt with us. Our stewardship should include the gift of our time and talent as we put these to use in some way, shape, or form for the good of the church. Each of us is given charisms, gifts that God gives us and calls us to share with others. These are different from our talents and skills. People come to us to receive the gifts, which are really gifts from God. Consider your charisms and God and how God may be calling you to share those with others. Mother Teresa of Calcutta once said that it is fashionable to speak about the poor in today's world, but not to speak with the poor. Jesus calls us not to be separated from the poor, but to see his presence in them. I was in prison, and you visited me. Whatever you did for the least of these, you did unto me. From my heart, I want to thank each of you who have been involved in our parish, being good stewards of your time, talent, and treasure, and making our community what it is. Without you, we do not have a community. As we remember today the solemnity of Christ, the King, let us be inspired by our King in the way in which we are called to be good stewards of what God has given to us and how he calls us to share those gifts with others. Amen.